We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Samach Zayin. We were talking about prayer. והתפילה יציר נאמן להשיב לבבות על בנים, לרחם עליהם, להטיב להם ולמלות מחסוריהם, כי כן מנת כוס מידת רחמים, לרחם את המבקש רחמי הרחמים, המרחם, בלתי אותו שאינו יודע לערוך תפילה או תחינה להתפלל לקדוש ברוך הוא, התחסד עמו על דרך חסד חינם. One long run-on sentence. He says, prayer is the trusted messenger that reconnects between parents and their children. He means reconnects man with his creator, that allows a person to get Hashem's mercy. Hashem does good upon him. Hashem gives him what he's lacking, because that's the way mercy works. If someone asks for mercy, so then Hashem grants mercy. When a person doesn't know how to ask for mercy, so then Hashem gives it to him for free. But if a person knows how to ask, so very often Hashem says, well, why didn't he ask? And this goes back to the root of what we were discussing earlier, that prayer stems from an internal honesty. I'm willing to admit I need something, so that's why I'm praying. Very often, they don't ask. There's a very cruel story that I don't like about the father of the former head of the UN. What was his name?
Former head of the UN, Kofi Annan?
Kofi Annan, right. So Kofi Annan, in his interview, said that one of the rules by which he runs his life is a story he won't forget. His father was a manager, and they weren't allowed to smoke at the work site. And his father came on site, and there was a worker there who was smoking, and the worker quickly put his cigarette in the pocket, lit, and his father went to talk to that worker and ignored the smoke coming out of his pocket. And the guy was burning his pocket and burning his leg. And his father kept talking like nothing was happening. And after the conversation ended, they walked away. And Kofi asked his father, you knew the guy was burning his leg as you were talking. You saw the smoke just like I saw the smoke. And his father said, if he doesn't have pity on himself, then I'm not going to have pity on him either. And this was a story he said in an interview after they appointed him head of UN. I really felt bad that he was the head of the UN. That was a story that I said, yeah, we'd like rachamim. But there is an element where we say, if you know how to ask, ask. Speak up. Why aren't you saying anything? There's an element of that. There's an element where that's his job. My job is to be more compassionate than that. As we find throughout Tanakh, Hashem says, I'm waiting for you to ask, but if you don't ask, eventually I can't handle it that you're suffering, so to speak. Those are the words of the prophet. Hashem says, I'll help you even though you didn't ask. But initially, there is that approach of, ask, you want something, ask. So that's part of the idea of prayer, that prayer is a person stepping forward and saying, I'm asking. אמנם מי אשר לאל ידו להתפלל ואינו מתפלל, הוא סיבה גדולה לעורר מאת המרחם הפך הרחמים. If someone knows how to pray and he does not, so then in heaven that arouses the opposite feeling, so to speak, אשר איננו רואות כמו כן במשפט בני אדם. We see the same thing in the human justice system, כי האב יחמול על בנו הקטן ויחקור על תשוקת נפשו, ויבקר על מחסורו, אף מבלי שאלת הולד עליהם. A father cares for his child, and he tries to obtain for the child whatever he wants, and he's always looking out to see what the kid is missing, even though the kid doesn't ask for it. לוחם בנו הקטן שיכול לבקש ואינו מבקש. But then you have a kid who could ask, but doesn't. הלא יזדמן אליו שיתחזר עליו. There will be times that the father will say, he didn't ask, why should I give it to him? כל שכן מבני אדם שאין קברה ביניהם, it's all the more so, when we're dealing with people that we're not close to one another, כמו אני ועשיר, הלא כאשר אני אקשה פה ולא אבקש מאת העשיר, הלא יקפוץ ידו וימנע טוב ממנו גם אחרי היכולת. Sometimes a person knows his neighbor could use a loan, but if he didn't ask, why should I run over and offer? If he asks, I'll give it to him. So very often when a person doesn't ask, he doesn't get. Sometimes in life, we have to ask. One of the main reasons that people don't get a raise at work is because they don't ask for it. It's that simple. Very often people are scared of asking for a raise, and that's why they don't get it. So you have to do it intelligently, you have to gauge the time right, you have to know how to ask, when to ask, but you also have to ask. It's important. And if you don't, you won't get there. Sometimes you could ask gently. Sometimes you could just say, you know, I'm very happy working here, and I plan on continuing to work here, and I would be very happy if you could find a way to come towards me and improve my situation. And very often that works wonders. Very often an employer is happy with you. He doesn't want you to go, but you never asked. So why should he offer you the raise? So as an employer, you will play the same game. Sometimes it's worth your while to give a raise so that you don't lose the employee. The saying goes that the employer pays the employee the least he can so he won't lose the employee. And the employee does work for the employer the worst he can that he'll get away with and won't get fired by the employer. So hopefully you won't be that type of employee. Hopefully you will do as best a job as you can, irrespective of whether they're paying you a lot or a little. But you can't expect them to pay you more if you don't ask for it. And there's what's called soft negotiation. And you could even say in advance, I want to have a soft negotiation. It's not take it or leave it. It's I'd like you to consider and see a way to come towards me. And very often it's important to keep the conversation going. Sometimes an employer will say, there's no way I can give you a raise. So you can say, look, but I'm giving the company so much and I'm happy working here and you're happy, I think, with my work. Tell me if not. Is there anything that needs improvement? No, you're doing great. So how can you come towards me? How can you help me out? Maybe you can foot the bill of my parking here. Find ways, find angles. Maybe you could give me other benefits. Maybe you could give me other perks. You can find ways. The key is to keep the conversation going. Maybe I can take every other Tuesday off without a cut in pay. You have to find out in your scenario how you can move forward, but sometimes it pays. Maybe you can give me more work for pay. Maybe you could give me more overtime. There are ways of bargaining. And again, soft negotiation, but the key is to ask. The key is to tell your employer, I'm happy here. I would like better, either benefits or better pay. And again, you have to do it smartly. It's not always the right time to do it. And sometimes it's not right to do it. Sometimes you're getting a great salary. There's no legitimacy for it. But very often the key is what we just learned here. Do you ask? There's another beautiful point. Davening doesn't only arouse heaven's mercy. Davening is not just a one-way street where now God, so to speak, will be more connected to man. It also connects man to God. It also arouses our hearts. It humbles a person. It brings a person to thanking for his past, for his present. If a person mourns over what he's lacking, so then he'll be happier when he receives it. So one brings about the other. We turn the page to page Shin Samachet. Our sages already taught us the importance of prayer. We'll see this in a minute. But the previous point is so important. I want to develop it a little bit. Before people enlist in the army, I often tell them there are a few key things they should try to do. One of them is to develop their prayer, their connection to Ribono Shel Olam. They say in yoga that the body has a memory, that if you can attain a certain level of agility, so then it becomes easier for the body to come back to that agility. The same is true with meditation. If you develop a certain skill, a certain capacity to enter a realm of calm, so it might take you an hour and a half to get there the first time, and the second time, and the fifth time, but at some point you develop the skill where you can just tap into that. So the same is true with prayer. The same is true with connections of friends, by the way. Very often if you've developed a friendship to a point, then even if you haven't seen one another or spoken for a long time, when you reconnect, it's like you haven't missed a beat. So the same is true with davening. I recommend that before people enlist, they develop their tefillah to a point where they can easily tap into that. In the army, sometimes you have 3 minutes to daven, and sometimes not even that. But if you can develop the connection to a point where you can easily connect to that, so then you've developed that connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's where sometimes a good prayer at the Kotel can carry a person a long way. It's not just about that prayer, it's about the level of connection a person attained. So, coming back to here, that's what he's saying, that davening is not only about what we ask Hashem to give us, it's also about our connection to Hashem. And our sages spoke about the importance of prayer. B'omram, as our sages taught, Amar b'Yitzhak, nipnima yu avotenu akurim. Rabbi Yitzchak says, why were the patriarchs barren? Why couldn't they have children? Mipnei shakadosh b'chu mitavel tfilatan shel tzadikim. Because Hashem yearns, desires the prayer of the righteous. Lo amru, our sages didn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz or rotze. It doesn't say Hashem wants or desires the prayer. It says, mit'ave, Hashem desires, Hashem has a yearning. Ki ze yore al aflagat ha-tshuga yeter me'od. Our sages came to give us the extent of how much Hashem wants our prayer. U'chama'amar, and as the verse says, v'cholzi ha-chasadei terem yeba'aretz ki lo himtir. The verse describes creation. There were bushes. There was grass. There wasn't rain. And our sages say, "Vatam, why was there no rain? Adam ain lavot ta'adama. There was no man around to work the ground. Shlo haya sheyakir b'tovatan shel gshamim. No one was there to say thank you. So Hashem says, all the vegetation, earth is covered. No rain, because no one's going to say thank you. Lachen lo yardu. That's why there was no rain. Ad shebadam mitpalel alem v'yardu. Rashi says, and on the spot. Until man came and prayed for rain. So, again, this gives us a totally different vantage point on life. We pray because we want something. And Chazal told us that sometimes Hashem didn't give it to us because He wanted us to pray. We think Hashem did something in the world that's not so good. We better ask Him to fix it. And on the contrary, sometimes Hashem says, let me withhold that just so you talk to me. When life goes right, we tend to ignore our needs, our real need for a connection with Hashem. It's when things suddenly don't work right. And when we first got married, so month after month, we didn't merit pregnancy. We didn't merit to become pregnant. And at one point, we were about to go around the cycle to finish our first year married. I went to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu and asked him what he recommends. So he sent me to a Rav who he taught in the neighborhood. He said, ask him, whatever he says, do. Okay. I went to that Rav, and he said to me, he said, when people don't have children, so they look for all kinds of amulets and cures, the first place they should look is to talk to their Creator. This is an opportunity to reconnect. You have a problem, talk to Him. You and your wife should set aside time and daven, talk to your Creator. You'll come out of this situation different people. You can talk to me about other things, but why? First take time to talk to your Creator. And that was a very interesting perspective, because it's, you know, we daven. Yes, of course we talk to our Creator, but we also look for other solutions. And very often we have to look back to the tefillah. Our sages said, sometimes the whole reason we have a problem is because we haven't been talking. We haven't had real communication with heaven. And Hashem says, oh, let me wake you up. Let me give you a problem. Now you'll come back to me. You guys know the story of Rockefeller, right? He bet his sister. His sister kept complaining that the kids wouldn't write her. She kept sending them letters, and they'd never write back. She wanted to know how her kids were doing. They're out in university. She wanted to know. So Rockefeller bet her that for $10, he bet her $50, that for $10 he could get them to write back. So she wondered how he could do that. So he sent them a letter, and he wrote in the letter, dear lads, I'm so glad to hear you're in university, and I'm so proud of you, and I'd love to hear how things are going by you. And I enclosed, please find, I asked my secretary to enclose a check for $10 for you guys to spend it. In those days, $10 was a lot of money. To spend it well, and enjoy a little bit your time in university. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, wishing you well. John D. Rockefeller. And he doesn't send the check. So, very shortly, he gets a letter back about how well things are going and how happy they were to hear from him. And the secretary must have forgotten to enclose the check because the letter came without a check, right? So the second they didn't get what they wanted, so they wrote back a letter. Okay, so that's how it goes in life. When we get what we want, so we going to prayer becomes a tedious task. Yeah, okay, I'll go. I'm doing God the favor, right? But when suddenly we have a real need, so then tefillah is a different place. It's my opportunity to talk to God because I need things. And now we're approaching Rosh Hashanah. This is, I can tell you that I have a hard time ending my Shmoneh Esrei. I feel like at this time, I don't want to do anything else but daven. so much to talk about. We had such an interesting year. I won't say difficult, but no one knows how to digest this war that ended but didn't end. And we don't really know what's going on in the South and what our security situation is and what's going on in the North and what's going on in Iraq and in Iran. You look at the world and there's turmoil. We don't know what's really going on. We don't know. Did we have a good year? I guess. I mean, we're alive. And most of us are well. So it seems like we had a good year, but we don't know. What we do know is we definitely need assistance. We need things to work out right. So this is a pivotal time of year. This is a time where we have real needs. And HaMelech Masadeh, like our sages taught us, it's as though the king came out of his palace. He's there in the field and he says, talk to me. What do you want? I'm here. But all year long, that's what our tefillah should look like. So that's another important message this Midrash teaches us. That prayer is not only about my asking for what I need, but I should remember that sometimes Hashem gave me that need so that I'll come back and pray. So what did we learn today? We said that prayer is a source, is the trusted messenger between the father and the children. We pray and Hashem gives us, just like when a person has needs, and that's where we discussed a person should ask for a raise. And then very often by asking, then a person will attain what he asked for. And then we said it also arouses us to connect to Hashem. And finally, we discussed that sometimes we have needs so that we will be aroused to reconnect to Hashem.